to remain standing today. I'm sharing with you not a gospel reading, but it's a worthy scripture here, and I'm going to, it's from the book of Acts, from chapter 9, and we hear, well, an interesting story, I'd say. Now, in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. May the word of God be blessed in your hearts. May be seated. So I'd like to introduce you to someone today, not here, but someone in my acquaintance. I'd like to introduce to you my brother-in-law, and I don't have a picture of him to share, although you can look at that telephone all you want. Isn't that perfect title for considering I don't remember why I... Yeah, you thought it was hard to forget. My brother-in-law, Edward, or as Jane knows him, her brother, Eddie. He is like Jane and I, from Wisconsin Rapids, and he, for a while, before he retired, he owned a television store where he sold a Zenith, and I think it was Curtis Mathis TVs, if you remember those kinds of TVs. And he was known for going out to give service to people, especially the seniors, and especially the seniors who couldn't pay, you know, whenever. They'll be, you know, happy to receive the money whenever. So he retired, he went up north to northern Wisconsin near Kennan, if you know where that is, or by Phillips, Wisconsin. And, you know, for a lot of us, he can only stay up north for so long. And then he wanted to go where it's warm. So now he lives in Paris, Tennessee. it's near the Kentucky border, really, kind of between Nashville and Memphis. And I mention this because Ed really never went to church, except I suppose when he was young and he went to Sunday school earlier. But when he went to this relatively rural area, he started going to church. He went to United Methodist Church in a holler somewhere, because Jane and I went to this church one Sunday with him, and there were like eight people in the sanctuary. It was in a holler, you know, it was pretty isolated. But the people, as you can imagine, were very warm, and they had good treats and all of that. But he became involved in the life of that congregation and in the life of that community as well. You know, this is, like I said, this is a very small church. He was the guy, because he has amazing abilities for technology and especially for building stuff. So he was the guy who got this little congregation of, you know, I don't know, 8 people, maybe 20 members all told, who knows, online, so they could stream their services during the pandemic. Otherwise, they may not have had really anything other than other churches in the area. He's a guy who a few people now, once they heard about his abilities, asked him to build ramps for the elderly, not just in the members of the church, but others in the community, to get in and out of their home because they were struggling more. He would and still helps build houses. You know, I don't think they have quite the codes in the builders down there that we do up here. But he's the kind of guy, if somebody needs help putting up a wall or whatever, he's there. And he kind of is what he loves to do. He put in one of these, you've seen on TVs, Mad City Baths, right? Yeah. How can you not, right? You know, on their own. He put in an accessible bath, making it a shower for somebody, an elderly person there. And then he showed somebody how, or rather when, to pick your produce. Somebody who was trying gardening in the pandemic for the first time, and showed them, you know, this is, you know, what you look for when you look to pick your produce. I would say, all in all, I would say, say Ed is a saintly fellow. And I say that because I thought about Ed when I read the passage about Dorcas this week, about her and what she was like. This woman, Dorcas, of course, goes by two names, right? Dorcas is the Greek name, and Tabitha is the Aramaic name. Aramaic, by the way, is the language of Jesus, the dialect of Hebrew that Jesus would speak. We don't know a lot about Dorcas, to be truth be told, even though she's got a passage in the scripture. And I imagine, really, there's no surprise here about not knowing much about her, because if you looked in the scripture that I just read from, if you look right before that, what happened was Saul became Paul in that famous conversion experience on the Damascus Road. Well, that takes all of the air out of the room, right? Because that's the big deal. And Dorcas, the story of Dorcas is just a follow-up act, and so probably doesn't get as much play. But she's still remembered. And, of course, Paul becomes one of the, what would you say, 2, 3, maybe if you don't like him, 4 major characters in the New Testament. So I think it's understandable why Dorcas or Tabitha is not remembered very well. But the scripture says she was devoted to good works and to acts of charity. But the scripture also says that she died. And evidently, I get the impression she died very suddenly. And as people did back in the day, they prepared her body, they cleaned the body. Actually, as they did in Wisconsin or, you know, anywhere in the day, they didn't have funeral homes necessarily. They often showed the body at home. And the same thing here in first century Palestine. They prepared the body for a time of mourning. And in the meantime, they discovered Peter was not too far away and got him. A couple of fellows found him and got him and dragged him back to Joppa and had him be there. And all of a sudden, when he comes into this room where Tabitha or Dorcas was kind of laid out, I guess you'd say, these widows start approaching Peter. And they show him all of the things that Dorcas had made for them. I don't know about quilts, you know, if we have quilters here, but all kinds of clothing that she had made for them. And I just want to remind you, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago in a sermon, back in the day, I'm not speaking about widows today, because I don't want to insult anyone, but in the day, in the first century, widows, if you were a widow, you were in big trouble. Let's put it that way. You, back in the day, you had no, unless you had family, you had no source of support, no chance of employment, and you were completely dependent on the help and the assistance of others. That's why so often in the book of Acts and the New Testament, they talk about helping the widow and the orphan, because those were the ones in their world who were most in need, that you could almost count on them being in need. So she gave, especially to these who were in need. And so I, like Ed, I feel, my brother-in-law Ed, I feel comfortable in speaking of Dorcas as a saint. Not in the Roman Catholic sense of the word. You know, there's no documentation here of how many miracles happened and how many incidences of this, and no brief has been built about that. You'd appreciate that, Dale, no legal brief. But that is actually what it essentially boils down to when a person is canonized in the Catholic Church. And not really in the New Testament sense of the word of saint either. In the New Testament, a saint is essentially a member of the church. But rather, what I'm talking about here is a person who in faith gives of themselves. Pure and simple. A person who in faith gives of themselves. My brother-in-law, Ed, you know, I think that, at least for me, I would call him a saint. Dorcas, the saint. And maybe as much as anything else, Dorcas, especially right now, I'm thinking, I think I would have to call her kind of a giver. Kind of like Ed. A person who sees a need and tries to find a way to fulfill that need. And Dorcas was in that sense a real giver. She was giving of her time. She was giving her ability. She was giving what she could. And even her own resources. And, you know, there's a case where I don't know that I've ever heard of what you call a stingy saint. That's kind of what you would call an oxymoron. And so Dorcas is someone to be remembered.